Every year, I promise myself I'll find the perfect gift.
Something they'll actually use.
And love. This year, I found it. The Bartesian Cocktail Maker.
Oh, that's the one that makes cocktails at the push of a button, right?
Exactly. Over 60 bar-quality drinks, from martinis to margaritas. Perfectly crafted every time.
I got one for my sister. And maybe for myself, too.
Smart. It's the season of giving and sipping.
And right now, you can save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers.
That's a real holiday miracle.
Because the best gifts bring people together and make the holidays a little easier.
Give the gift of better cocktails this season with Bartesian. Mix over 60 premium drinks at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. Don't wait. This offer ends December 2nd. Shop now at Bartesian.com/drinks. That's BARTESIAN.com/drinks.
Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I really need you to know I'm imagining David Suchet. I cannot live in a world where you think I'm dreaming Kenneth Branagh.
Well, what a true delight to be here in the garden, my dear, dear friend, comedian, writer, broadcaster.
Sure.
Amy Annette.
Poet.
Poet?
Yes.
Let's not forget.
Unpublished.
Unpublished. As yet.
Yeah.
Amy and I have been friends for a long time. I can't exactly remember precisely when we met, but I think we were both in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Neither of us were well.
And neither of us.
That's my main memory.
And the Edinburgh Festival is a very intense experience. I've talked about it on many occasions that people say to me, oh, did you just love being in Edinburgh? And I always say, no.
No.
Great city, wonderful city, fabulous audiences, lovely people.
Yeah.
But the experience of being there every day is quite intense.
The actual festival, festival's the wrong word.
Yes.
Endurance
training.
Yeah.
Marathon.
But we were also in a flat of other comics.
Indeed.
And all lovely.
Yes.
But stinky. And so my main memory is you and I being like, we will not take out the bins again. Really being like, it's Joel Dommett's turn to take out the bins. You know?
It was very intense like that, because I remember those bin bags piling up.
Sometimes
like, can you imagine this? There must have been 6 or 8 people living in that flat.
At least. There were couples as well.
Yeah, it was busy.
Yeah. And we were staying in an old flat that you got up to, sort of essentially up a turret.
Mm.
And then we looked over a graveyard.
Yes.
So it's quite ominous always.
Always very.
Mm.
Had a lovely time. But we did have a lot of
lovely time.
And it was in that fire that our friendship was perhaps galvanised.
And yet,
Amy, I say this, and yet you've just come back from going back again.
I have, yeah. Fool's errand?
A fool's errand.
No, I had a nice time. When I was living in Edinburgh with you, I think I was, I don't know what I was doing. I was,
I'll tell you,
wafting around.
No, you weren't. You were producing.
Yes.
And you were also doing your own show called What Women Want, which was, when I say broadcaster, it was one of the first, I think you were podcasting that.
Yeah, it was an early podcast. Mm. Yeah, I really started a lot of podcasts in a time where if I'd just gone for a little bit longer, I could have been Call Her Daddy, whatever it's called. I could have had Kamala Harris on my podcast.
Yeah. Yes, I know. It's interesting, isn't it, how those
Kamala Lou Harris. Sanders and I had one called Have You Read That Book by John Ronson? And it was about, I think it was sort of about popular psychology.
Yeah, but what a great idea.
It was such a great idea, but we edited it ourselves. And we sort of just lost our minds and stopped.
I did the same thing, actually, with a podcast I did.
Yeah.
Not a million miles from what you perceive here.
Yeah.
Oh, and the rain comes in. But I was editing it myself using GarageBand.
Yeah.
And the comments underneath were like, it's unlistenable.
Yeah.
I can't bear it. There's so many awkward edit points and cuts and snippets. And so I was disheartened by it.
Yeah.
And so I think when the new wave came along, I was like, no, too much work. Yes. I can't do that.
Imagine. We could have been off the menu.
We could have been off of the menu.
Yeah.
What a
shame. Talking about bread.
From the menu is what it actually should be.
Just on the menu. Yeah.
Menu.
Yeah.
A la carte. But nonetheless, it brought us all here. And What Women Want, though, I must say, was such a brilliant, such a stimulating...
Thank you.
...piece of art.
I think, the sun is coming out as we talk about feminism. And that makes sense.
The sun always shines on the righteous.
Thank you. No, it was really fun. It was a group of people talking about like what women want is, and then it would be a new topic each time. So to live, love, love, to be treated like a princess. In part because I always just wanted to have all my friends on it. And also in part because I think otherwise it can feel quite siloed. It would not be an all-female panel, hence your work.
Well, that was what I was very flattered to be included in. And I think that was a testament to you, was that you made a topic which I think could easily have felt very siloed made it very broad.
And what are we saying when we say silo?
In a little...
Grain.
A grain thing.
Women are grain. And I've heard you say that before. And I'm thrilled that you're saying it now.
Women are flowers.
Oh.
And flowers.
You've really turned that around.
Yeah.
It's true. Actually, often you would be the great relief at the end, because it'd be someone, you know, me essentially being like, I do want someone to open the door for me, but also, and then you'd be like, nobody opens the door for me.
No, well.
And you'd be like, I'd love it if a fellow would carry me over the doorstep.
A threshold.
Yeah.
Well, though, I think that was your great skill, really, because you made, as I say, a topic which could have been very different. You made it very accessible, very, very, something that people could, it was very discursive, I think, very engaging, which I think was very powerful.
That's nice.
I think
that's nice. And now I don't do it anymore.
And so, thank God you don't do it anymore. Now we can all be in our polarized little silos.
I think I just got to a point where I was like, oh, I don't know if we need more people talking about feminism. At the time, there was a lot, but actually, we do now. Probably. Well,
but yet you've gone back just this year to school, Amy, and I want to know, how did that feel?
Once again, I'm always just amazed by how lovely Edinburgh, the city, is.
We're all very keen to say how
we do want not to sound ungrateful. But actually, probably as I've gotten older, I've really got a bit overwhelmed by the architecture and the greenery. Mm. And I sort of just have to stop every now and then and be like, that's a volcano. That's an old volcano in the corner. Yeah. Which is Arthur's Seat.
Yeah, but, right.
I didn't know it was a volcano.
No, I mean, I was dormant. Laughing along, but
well,
yeah.
Dead.
Well, I'm saying it was on fire this year.
It was on fire. Mm. Thank God not lava.
It wasn't lava.
No, it wasn't lava.
Imagine that, a sort of performer's version of Pompeii.
Yes, and we're all frozen.
Flying.
Frozen and flying, crying. I had a nice time. I did a silly, straight stand-up show, and I wore a sort of pink outfit that I got in Australia, Klang. Mm. And then in the show, I talk about Mr. Blobby. And then because I'm up to date. Okay. And then midway through the run, I realized, honestly realized looking down, that because it was a pink outfit with like colorful green blobs and stuff, that I looked like an Oliver Bonus Mr. Blobby. So I really had a fun time.
And it sounds very much like audiences did too. They seem to flock to see it. And they're
very overwhelmed by how beautiful that segue was.
No,
so nice.
No, not
just want to clap you and be like, oh, so smooth. I did have a nice time. I had a few repeat customers. Last year, my show had a motto at the end, which was no regrets, more baguettes. And then didn't understand what would happen is that as people left my show this year, they would whisper to me, no regrets, more baguettes. It was very nice.
I am slightly disappointed that they didn't bring you a baguette. That's what I assumed they would have done.
Right, yes.
Which I would have loved.
Yes, me too.
Just a table piling up with delicious...
Yes, where's my French stick?
Where's my French stick? Yeah. Do you remember it being called a French stick?
Yeah, yeah. Someone called it that the other day and I was really remembering that.
I remember it so fondly.
Because we didn't want to have to say a French word, I think. We weren't confident we'd say it right.
I think people were worried.
Yeah.
So they just said a French stick.
Yeah. I still say chocolate croissant.
Yes, I would say that. Yeah. I would say that.
I don't feel comfortable saying...
Would you say croissant or croissant? I've noticed croissants crept in as a sort of... I think in Australia they said croissant.
Can I get a quoi? No, I say quoi.
Quoi. There you go.
Ah, quoi. I don't speak French, but I try.
I try.
I try to do an accent. Don't do it.
But that's wonderful, though, that people have been... Oh, the weather changes yet again.
Yes.
That people have been engaging with what you've been doing, picking up what you've been putting down.
Yeah, that's so nice.
And enjoying it.
And it does make you think you should have a catchphrase. We've got to bring catchphrase back.
Well, there's a lot of snobbery in comedy.
And, yeah. Bring back the catchphrase.
I think there's nothing wrong with it.
Do you have a catchphrase?
I would like to, because it would probably save me writing that bit of material. Yes.
What's your extra slice? You have a long spoon.
Oh, yeah. I guess a physical.
You have a physical.
Motif. If you like.
I do.
On Bake Off's I do like. Slice.
But I think you should get a catchphrase for extra slice.
Oh, maybe I
and
should.
And then you say it on stage, on tour, and the extra slicers are able to make a louder noise.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're enjoying our little garden chat, don't forget you can watch all episodes of Pottering on my YouTube channel, at Tom Allen. Or, if you prefer, just carry on listening on your podcast app whilst you potter about yourself. We'd love to keep you company.
Running a business is hard enough. So why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins. Just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part? Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I love about what you do is that you manage to combine often talking about quite serious things or very intellectual things, as in, you know, it's never something that we can't enjoy, but you manage to make it so much more enjoyable because you're able to combine. Well, references that are like Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
Adorable. And ones that we all enjoy.
I use Mr. Blobby to explain the rise of Nigel Farage.
Well, for example.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued that you, or very inspired, I should say, by the way that you always manage to do that. I think it's a real skill.
Yeah. You had that great joke in your show this year about, one great joke, about people who comment online being the people who would have attended a public hanging.
Yes.
And there was something in that that really tickled me.
Oh, thank you.
And I think there's something in that which is like, you know, a silly observation, but also, you know, something real about the way in which we're talking to each other nowadays.
I like to, maybe this is what you like too. The world can seem quite bonkers. Can we say bonkers?
I love to say bonkers.
Bonkers at the moment, to say the least. But I think grounding it sometimes in the references that we all grew up with or that we felt secure in at a time when maybe the world just seemed a bit, if nothing else, a bit simpler.
Yeah.
Is quite a useful way.
I think that's right. And because I also think so much of what we feel is as anger or is fear. Mm. And that's not a unique thought of mine, but that so often when people are expressing confusion, it comes out as, I don't know, like not bigotry, but like a prejudice. And in fact, most of the time, people would hate to feel that they were being prejudiced. And if you just said to them, or you've just explained to them, or they explained to you really what they were feeling, you would most likely agree. I think most of the time you would agree. My uncle, who's Canadian, huge reveal, I'm very Canadian. Don't tell anybody. he is in a hockey league, and he was always talking about how he speaks to guys there who are incredibly smart, you know, like, but not necessarily up to date with cultural stuff. And his wife is a teacher, and they were saying to things like children are being able to identify as cats, so they are allowed in Canadian schools to go to the toilet in a litter box. And he was able to be like, well, that's obviously not right. And then they had to be like, because my wife's a teacher, so I can tell you that that's not happening. And then very quickly they were like, oh, yeah, actually, if I think about that for 1 second, that does sound crazy. But right now in America, loads of books are being censored, including books about cats. And it is all this sort of dog whistle stuff about gender and self-identifying that they're like basic, silly nursery rhyme books about cats are being taken out of American schools to satisfy some sort of mad online phobia.
Yes.
But the idea of my uncle just being a man who plays hockey with him able to be like, I don't think that can be right. And then being like, oh yeah.
And then that's
just that one moment. Yeah.
Negates, or not negate, but
Pierce. Not negates, but it's just a human connection in an otherwise. And it also, it's a, as you say, like it's grounding.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps what I've felt a lot, particularly in the online sphere, is that one is curious, one wants to know about the world and the nature of social media is that we're connected to, we learn about that person and this person.
Yeah.
But then sometimes these kind of discussions come out and you go, really? And because we don't have anybody to go, is this right?
Yeah.
Because we're on our little screens.
Yeah.
We never get a chance to actually explore what this
or maybe
means.
Even just say it out loud.
Yeah.
And be like,
yeah.
Well, that can't probably be true. And also I will say, to have empathy with people who find themselves believing things that turn out maybe not to be true, is that sometimes, not a conspiracy, but a sort of mad idea is true, you know? Like, you can believe that things are terrifying and scary and misunderstand that as being about gender pronouns, but also at the same time, in America right now, fascism is on the rise and that, you know, so it's like, there are real things to be scared about. Oh, fascism.
The sun came out.
The sun came out for fascism.
Gosh.
Feminism, fascism.
F's.
These are my F's. And I am beginning to feel unconfident in my opinions, which happens sometimes when I start to eloquently put forward, because I suddenly have this fear that anyone listening will be like, well, what do you know? But what do any of us know?
But again, I think that's what I think is very amazing about what you are able to do. And I've loved a lot of our conversations over the years because you always are so aware of things and so mindful of things, but in both an intellectual, but also in a human way that's not in the abstract that sometimes intellectual discussion can be.
I know who Alfie Moon is.
For example.
I know who Alfie Allen is.
It's for example.
I know who I can't think of a political Alfie. Alf Garnett.
Alf Garnett. I was going to say the person in the song that Cilla Black sang.
Oh,
Alfie.
What's it all about Alfie?
What's it all about Alfie? I mean, that could very much be the name of this episode.
Yeah.
But I think we do live in strange times and I think there's a lot to process, but I do feel, do you think this is naive? Well, perhaps building on what you say, if people did just meet and talk, a lot of the kind of things that we talk about that would seem to be so stressful to everybody would be at least reduced.
Yeah, and not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I do think that it is intentional, the lack of connection.
Oh, really?
You know, screens and online discourse being based around this feeling of often what I think, what I feel when I'm online is either, I guess, jealousy of someone's gorgeous guard and here we are.
Well, or, rubbing your face in it.
Or anger, you know, like or confusion or sort of shock. Mm. But those are all not connecting feelings, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas And so I don't think it's as specific as they think, keep them online and then they won't be able to connect and talk about their emotions. But I do think that I have a lot of fears right now about this surprising Labour push to deny trans people their rights.
Yeah,
it just feels like, where'd that come from?
Where did that come from? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it feels like that's a very uneducated thing to be like, what is going on? But honestly, that is what I feel a lot of the time. Mm. And some of that I do think comes from an online discourse leaking into politics. The strong opinions that people have online are so often cooked up to make us feel a strong reaction so that we engage, and even if it's in anger.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think as well, just from a practical point of view, the opinions expressed online are so often reduced because that's the number of characters you're allowed, or that's the space you have on an Instagram story, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not kind of somewhere where, I know I'm not the first person to say it, but it's not a place for any nuance.
No, you're so right. And there's something the other day someone told me that, you know those videos where people make quite disgusting meals? It's often an American woman, and she's like, and this is a favorite dish of my family. And it's like, and we put mashed potato from a tin, and then we put sausages, and then we put raisins, and then we put mayonnaise, and then we put whipped cream. And like, at some point you're like, this is the most disgusting thing, but you can't stop watching
it.
And then someone was like, of course those are fake. Of course, maybe one time someone made that personal recipe that everyone thought was horrible. But what they've understood is people will watch an entire video of a disgusting recipe.
To see to the end.
And also look at the comments and be like, this is disgusting. And you're like, it is
disgusting. Yes, I thought it was.
Yeah. And so, and of course, totally reasonable for someone who wants to make a video, make a fake video, fine. But there's something in that, I think, that explains why we're all slightly off kilter.
What a good expression for it as well, because I think things like, I don't know if they're AI or what, but like, I guess I talk about history, for example. And so when I check my Facebook profile, I'll get these kind of history accounts showing AI recreations of medieval England.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a street scene, like, and it'll be like, in 1370, an English townspeople always did this, this, and this. And it'll be sort of slightly right.
Yeah.
But the AI recreation, it might be even be a film, a video, a moving picture.
Oh, I've heard of those.
You know?
Yeah.
People will be obviously incorrect because they'll have teeth.
Yeah.
Basically. And, so underneath then, all the comments are like, this is not how people look. This is not what a...
Yeah.
And then kind of, why is this being created?
Yeah.
And I think it's perhaps for what you're
saying.
It's
some sort of endless machine. Just you talking about medieval streets has made me think of a thing my friend was telling me the other day, that she's got into this version of the internet that she's obsessed with, which is called tavern fantasy play, which is when people pretend to run.
I don't know what it is yet.
I know, but it is so silly.
It's actually
surprisingly not sexual, despite the name. And it's people pretending to run medieval taverns. And they set up their, I assume a set in some sort of basement or attic, and often in, let's say, Ohio, like, it's America. They do these sort of apothecary walls, but then they do act outs. So they set up the camera here, and so then as you're watching it on your phone, they go, welcome, traveler. You seem to have traveled very far. Are you tired? It's amazing, and it's so cute. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's adorable. That's what I think the internet should be used
for. I really agree.
It's delightful.
Fantasies.
Yeah, it's like that, where people can act out.
What, and it's at the beginning, I was like, this is so embarrassing. But by the end, I was like, I'd love to be in that tavern.
And also, in contrast to what we've described, maybe the angry side of it all.
Yes, just, welcome me in. Yeah, give me your mead.
Running a business is hard enough, so why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins, just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part, Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process, so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabay Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabay sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
My body shape is like an olive on two sticks.
Wait, what's the olive? This bit?
This bit, yeah, this bit. And then the sticks, they go through both sides.
That's how people describe Poirot.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, egg-shaped, actually, so sorry.
Egg-shaped, yeah. Egg-shaped. I am becoming more like Poirot. Hercule. Yeah.
You'd be a wonderful Hercule.
Oh, I'd love to. I mean...
They've got to reboot at some point.
David Suchet, I think, was the greatest. For me. Sorry, Ken.
No, I'm not sorry, Ken. I'm not sorry, Ken. I used to do a bit about a truth that I found in a notebook I had written I Heart HP on many pages. And I kept being like, I didn't read Harry Potter until I was much older.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, and then I turned the page and I'd done a drawing and it was Hercule Poirot. And it was very clearly the David Suchet, Hercule Poirot.
Yes.
So I'd always be like, I really need you to know I'm imagining David Suchet. I cannot live in a world where you think I'm dreaming Kenneth Branagh. Fine. Peter Ustinov, okay.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Sure.
And Albert Finney, I didn't mind.
Yeah. I should think of Albert Finney.
I would say... It's a bit like the Bonds, isn't it?
Yes,
it's a bit
you have
your favourite.
And no one's fave is Daniel Craig. I don't want to say that rudely. I think he's a wonderful man, can he be your fave?
Mine was, I think, Pierce Brosnan.
If Branagh is the newest Poirot.
Yeah, who would be
then Craig is the newest Bond. My fave, because I'm of the Brosnan era.
I'm a Brosnan.
Yeah.
A child of Brosnan.
And he has a fat wife, so I'm on board. I'm going to be more on board. Keely Shea Smith, to give her full name.
Oh,
gorgeous
sure.
woman.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful at every size.
And I still haven't seen The Thursday Murder Club, which I know her husband is in.
Yes.
But for me, David Suchet was the one.
Yeah.
And a bit like Joan Hickson is my Miss Marple.
Of course.
It has to be.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the others?
No, I don't think they would even take it disrespectfully.
I don't, because I think she lived and breathed.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. David Suchet has, I think, come to terms maybe with the fact that he is now the embodiment of Poirot for so many people.
For sure, yeah.
Because I was advertised a show he's doing where he talks about Agatha Christie.
Oh.
And I did think, the algorithm has understood me.
Sometimes when that weird computer thing, which normally stresses us out,
goes
the other way. Like, for me, it'll just show me lots of lamps.
And you just want to see those
soothing.
Lamps.
It's just very soothing.
You want to see those lamps.
I think, oh, I
so the internet
buy
does
that
make
one.
Us angry, but it does also give us lamps.
Give us stuff to buy.
Yes.
So it's a
lot of our messages to each other are sort of weird pieces of furniture spotted.
Oh, yes. Because, I mean, you and I are both very eclectic in our tastes.
Yes.
But I think we both relate to the idea of, I want to say aspirationally posh, but just, I think, it's the fantasy. It's the being the medieval tavern master.
This
what
is it.
Would it be tavernman? Taverner?
Owner?
Tavern owner, yeah.
Do you think if you were going to do a YouTube or a video where you were play acting and welcoming people into a space, what would your space be?
What a great game.
So medieval tavern taken.
A men's public convenience.
I think mine would be a haberdashery.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Not that I know enough. No, I don't mean a haberdashery. I mean a milliner's.
Oh, a milliner's would be lovely.
A milliner's. But we're in the time where everyone wear hats.
Busy time.
A busy
boom
time.
For
it's
milliners.
Not with love, a milliner now.
I mean,
love to the milliner.
A milliner now, I think, is you're
that's a hobby.
With love.
That's a hobby. No, I'm a milliner in the time where everyone wore the little hats. Boop, boop.
Yes. Imagine how busy they must have been. New styles Huge. Coming in all the time.
Of course, feathers.
Flipped up brims.
Flipped up brim. Flipped down brim. Hide the face. Great for a murder.
A veil. I like
veil.
A little film. It reminds me of sort of the sort of character Diana Rigg would play.
Yes. For a long time, I thought Diana Rigg was a different Diana. And I was really believed that Diana Rigg had been married briefly to Bill Nighy.
Oh,
whereas that is the other Diana Quick. And I was really telling people this, and everyone was like, what an age gap. I'd be like, love is love.
Love is love.
But it was just a totally different person. Yeah.
So love is not love when it's just somebody totally different.
Yeah.
But I did meet Diana Rigg once.
Did you?
Yes, my friend was in a play with her, and we went out for a coffee in the break, and I got introduced, and I tried to jib into the conversation, and she just looked at me. In quite a terrifying way.
And had none of the dip.
And had not, she did not pick up what I was putting down. But the reason I mentioned Diana Rigg, and I feel like you might meet me halfway on this obscure reference.
Yes.
Because it is, at the time of recording, coming up to Halloween. My favourite Halloween film as a child was the Diana Rigg film, The Worst Witch.
Yes.
Had you seen it?
Based on the book.
Based on the later TV series. The TV series came along
much later. So not based on the
later. It's a musical, and the girl in it was in The Return to Oz. What's her name? I can't remember. And she played...
Mildred
Hubble.
Yeah.
Growing up isn't easy.
You're doing that thing where the back of my brain is going...
It's very nice. It is quite obscure.
No, it's nice, but I've definitely watched it.
And Tim Curry is in it as well, as the Grand High Wizard. And there's...
They don't make films like this anymore.
They don't make films like that.
They just don't.
And Miss Cackle, who's head of the school...
Yeah.
She was played by an American actress who I saw in an episode of Murder, She Wrote just last week.
I am also constantly watching Murder, She Wrote. And I'll say this, you don't need to watch them in order.
No, they are not. There's no order. It's a lot of relatives and friends that...
So many. And her Jessica nephew. Has.
The nephew, yeah.
Now, am I right in thinking that is her real nephew?
No.
I do think there Angela might Lansbury's- be... And it might be in the sort of vein, you know, Dick Van Dyke did Diagnosis Murder.
And then his son,
was also in it, co-lead.
Yes.
I believe, and you know, there's so many ways for us to figure this out without me just guessing.
Well, we've said we don't like the internet, so.
So we can't use it.
We can't use it.
In fact, I do miss the days when you could just say a thing.
Yeah, just absolutely. Say that, okay, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, they're married, of course. Well, God,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think there's an element of low-level nepotism.
Yeah.
Which I have no problem with.
Yeah, sure, she opened a door for him. Yeah, why not?
Pop your nephew in your Murder, She Wrote. Come on.
Come on, she's allowed one.
Yeah.
Had one free pass.
Yeah.
She'd have a few nephews, I think, in various episodes, though, didn't she? So I don't know.
One major nephew.
Is that the one who lived in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, she loves spending weekends.
Loves spending weekends. That's how she gets to the city.
Yeah, she loves to spend time
She's got to get to the
city.
Well,
I just can't wait to spend a bit of time with you, my
That's
nephew.
Really good.
Yeah, very cute.
That's what I heard at the end. Bom, 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 bom. Oh, she's so good.
But, you know, that's the future of streaming.
Angela Lansbury?
Yes.
Good. I'm pleased.
Apparently, all the streamers now, they don't want these big, explosive dramas that people watch one of and then they can't watch again, so they cancel their subscription until it comes back. They need running dramas that people keep coming back to. Murder, She Wrote, perfect example.
Soaps.
A soap opera, basically.
Yeah.
But I guess a unitized one that you don't, it doesn't matter if you didn't watch it last week.
I feel like there are lots of, I get a sitcom, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't like to watch anything that makes me think, I'll say that for free. So, Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, that's exactly what the world needs more of. Murder, She Wrote, you know, I think in the same way Downton Abbey, gives people a sense of, well, soothing and kind of, you know, people don't, particularly with Angela Lansbury, people don't mess around.
No.
They're not going to be... Silly. She's not going to tolerate any nonsense.
No, she has to do her stretches every morning.
You've obviously seen
the book.
Did you? There's a book of it.
She had her morning exercise book. And she's very... she's a sensual woman, is what I'll say. Mm. She does a lot of rubbing of the legs in the morning.
Oh, really?
Big believer in, I guess, before dry brushing. A lot of get up in the morning, lie on your back, legs in the air, smooth the legs forward.
I mean, the hope that you'd have longer legs?
I guess, maybe just get the blood going or something.
Oh, it's quite nice, actually.
Yes, of course.
I do remember in the video she had carpet on her bathroom floor, which I thought was...
And that's of its time.
You know, with the candles burning as well, I just thought, Angela, this is an absolute fire risk.
Angela, what are you doing?
But she'd run the bath. So
she'd run the bath.
She was ready to go.
I bet she had wonderful bath oils.
Oh, I bet she had a lovely selection of them.
Yeah.
And probably a jacuzzi bath.
And she would often get in the bath in the video, is my
memory. Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I've only seen...
With bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sensual woman.
Very sensual.
Sensual.
Sometimes I've stayed in a hotel which has a jacuzzi bath and I've never been inclined to use it.
No, because... If someone else has...
Yeah.
Ah.
And somebody introduced me to the idea of that you should never have a bath in a, not should never, but put me off the idea of having a bath in an hotel when there is a shower over the bath, because it means that people have stood in that bath a lot.
I see.
Do you see what I mean?
Like, but surely if their feet are in the bath,
they're clean.
No, I just mean someone else's feet are going to be in their bath, whatever happens. They be standing absolutely or lying?
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true.
But I assumed you meant because they would pee-pee.
Well, that crossed my mind.
Yeah.
But maybe they do that in the bath.
I think once you leave your house, you just have to submit to the world. Yeah.
I do think that with hotels, actually. Yeah. I think with hotels, just don't think about it.
Don't think about it.
Don't think about the carpet. Don't think about how many people have lied.
Don't think about the carpet. Don't think about the cushions.
It's a bit like getting on the tube. Don't think about how many people have sat.
I've only ever once asked to be moved, and it was a hotel in Manchester, and just they'd made the mistake of having a fabric headboard, and just where people's head had lain, there was an oil. And I thought, I've seen that now.
Yeah.
And I do have to move.
Good for you, though.
Yeah. But I did feel bad for everyone. I said, who put this fabric headboard in? It's got to be wiped clean.
It's got to be, basic.
Please. It wasn't the fanciest of places. But I did think, I can put up with a lot, but the slick of oil.
Other people's hair oil. Yeah. I think, you're wise to...
It does feel like we're in another era, in the era of the boop-boop hat.
Yeah, probably the pomade. Why they had those hats. Well, that's why they had antimacassars, wasn't it, on chairs?
Yes, because of the pomade.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't said pomade for so long.
I haven't said antimacassar for ages.
Thank God we did this.
Thank God we're here.
Are you going to cut me some flowers?
Are you going to cut me some slack? That's what you're going to say. So, Amy.
Yes.
I've so enjoyed our chat, and I like to finish off our time in the garden with a little task.
Yes.
And I thought it'd be fun for us to make a little homegrown bouquet each.
Yes, please. I get to chop at your garden.
Yes. So I've given you some of my secateurs. I hope you like those. Those are the fancy.
They're very fancy.
Although I need to do the... I've managed to...
They're rusty.
I need to do the rust. They have come with a special thing. You dust the rust off.
Oh, a dust ruster.
A rust
duster. Anyway.
Whatever you like.
Bit of fun,
isn't it? We need a theme. What theme would you suggest for our bouquets?
Well, I loved imagining you hosting a men's public convenience, but perhaps a medieval tavern.
They
would maybe need a bloom.
A bloom to go on the end of the bar.
Yeah.
Maybe next to their pork scratchings.
Yes. Maybe a sort of, there's an herbal.
Oh, yes, they like that. Yes, yeah. Apothecary. Yes. Well, okay, fine. Well, we do have herbs down there and things.
Okay, exciting.
Help yourself to whatever you think might go.
Okay. And is there, do I have a time frame?
I think we should have 1 minute.
Gosh, how exciting.
How exciting. Yes. Okay, well...
Can we do it in medieval...
iambic pentameter.
character.
Oh, what a lovely idea.
Yeah.
That's
I can't
perfect.
Wait to see you do that.
I can't wait to do it. So for our listeners, we're standing in the middle of the grassy bit of the garden.
Yeah.
We've got lots of options around us. I can see the roses. I can see hydrangeas. The herb and vegetable section is also available.
Okay.
And there are grasses and a bit of holly. Whatever we like. So,
well, come with me, sire, as we medieval.
There we go. We're off.
Okay.
We're off, fair maiden. Ah. Oh, I think I shall claim a little hydrangea just here.
These little purpley things really look to me like, I don't know, dinosaurs would have seen them.
Oh, get one.
I've got one.
I think they have
a lot of stuff?
I might claim a bit of this... scented oregano.
Maybe a fern. It's very Nigel Slater to have a fern. And I live to be like Nigel Slater.
Of course, we live to be Nigel Slater. I'm approaching here a pink hydrangea, which has got a bit dead in the middle, but I think that's part of the joy.
What I'm understanding is it's incredibly hard. And Florisov, very skilled.
Yours is looking lovely already.
There's an energy to it.
Oh, and this bay. I think bay was very important to medieval people.
And I have this, which looks like a fair maiden's hair. My medieval person is now Scottish.
Oh, well.
They have them in Scotland, you know.
Is our minute nearly up?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and I think I would probably have a cabbage leaf, which is probably seen as somehow religious.
Sorry, Tom, your beautiful hydrangea.
No, take it. It's there to be enjoyed.
Some grasses. You got to build it out.
You've got to build it up a bit. Oh, mine looks absolutely rubbish.
No.
Oh, I'm not.
Are we done?
Amy. And our minute is up. Amy, Yours is absolutely stunning. Mine looks like an absolute load of rubbish.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I don't know.
It is true that you just got two types of hydrangea.
But I just did make, and then I shoved some herbs in, and they
but
they
I
don't
think
really
this actually really speaks to the time. Mm, and I won't explain what I mean by that. So I've gone for quite a medieval bouquet. You can actually see.
I was going to say a very medieval bride.
Yes.
Oh, that's stunning, but Amy.
Maybe at the tavern they had need of a fern.
They definitely would have done it. Probably would have symbolised something.
It symbolises, as we all know, in the medieval times, fertility.
Fertility. Everything's
it is all fertility.
It was always fertility. Like, of course, it was very important. The Egyptians, it symbolised fertility.
And you're like, well, yes, it's a huge penis. So it makes a lot of sense. but I think you know what would be really nice? Mm-hmm. Pop them together.
Oh, and isn't that what we've been talking about all day?
Come together. In real life.
Oh, pick up a cabbage leaf.
Pick up your cabbage leaf. And do pick up your cabbage leaf. Sorry. Don't bend over in your lovely suit.
No. And isn't that lovely? And look what you can combine when you bring it all together.
Awesome. I feel like Charlie Dimmock.
I do too. I feel like...
We both look like her in our own ways.
Thanks for pottering with me today. I'll be back next week with another lovely guest. Until then, why not click subscribe on my YouTube channel? It's at Tom Allen. Or follow the show on your podcast app so you're always up to date. And if you can leave a little review, 5 stars if you're feeling generous, it really helps other people find the show. Yes. Anyway, thank you. Bye for now.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.